This is STD Podcast.
The recipient of this year's ASTDA Distinguished Career Award is Dr. Ann Rompallo. Dr. Rompallo is a professor of medicine and the director of the STD HIV Prevention Training Center at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Rompallo has indeed a long and distinguished career as a clinician, researcher, and teacher in the field of sexually transmitted diseases, and is an internationally renowned syphilis expert. We spoke with her at the World Congress of the International Union Against Sexually Transmitted Infections in Marrakesh, Morocco. Congratulations on the award, Anne, and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. And hello, everyone who's listening from Morocco.
Where the conference has just come to an end, and we found a quiet spot to talk a little bit about point-of-care testing.
Right.
You and your collaborators have done quite a bit of work on point-of-care testing, and you've done surveys about the feasibility and acceptability of point-of-care testing, the kind of things that folks want from point-of-care testing. What have you learned?
Well, I mean, as everyone can imagine, indeed, clinicians who are in the sexual reproductive health field want a point-of-care test. It makes sense that if you can immediately diagnose gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, trichomonas, and give therapy when the patient is there, it's much better. So the clinicians in the United States prefer having the chlamydia test first. They obviously want a test that doesn't have very many steps, that can be run quickly within perhaps 20 minutes, that is cheap, that costs $20 or less, and that has high sensitivity and specificity. If you question people from the developing countries, which we did in one study, people actually have different priorities. Their first priority would be gonorrhea or syphilis. Well, obviously HIV, but HIV is kind of taken off the table because we have great tests right now. So the need is there. The willingness to accept the test by clinicians is there. But the devil is in the details.
What about the technology? Is the technology there?
The technology is getting there. If you recall, Rosanna Peeling did many reviews for the World Health Organization establishing the assured criteria. The bottom line is the test has to be robust and it has to be able to survive in different climates and it has to be quick, easy, cheap, and reliable. And tests are coming. And we have good, for example, we have the rapid syphilis test and different types of syphilis testing that they are using in Africa, particularly around elimination of maternal to child transmission of syphilis, which is huge. We have brilliant tests for HIV, as everyone listening knows. But the tests for gonorrhea and chlamydia are lagging but developing. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting to have these tests. We have some tests available, for example, the AWESOME test in the United States that for trichomonas, which actually the patients can do themselves and read with reliability as good as the clinicians. And there was a study published not that long ago that showed that the reliability between the patient and the clinician collection was very good. But the problem, the devil is in the details, and the problems are these tests going to be affordable?
Mm-hmm.
Then how are they going to be accepted? Not by clinicians, but by the organization in which clinicians work, whether it be their private practice or their HMOs or their hospitals. And then the problem becomes, how will the quality assurance of running of these tests be ensured or assured? And who's going to do that? Does it take time? Are they going to get paid?
Right.
And then who's going to pay for the test inevitably? And these are problems. But there's an even bigger problem. If you have a point of care test, how is it going to be reported to the public health service? And that is not an insignificant problem because surveillance is the bedrock of how we address outbreaks and how we distribute funds. So that's important.
It is a point because currently reporting, at least to the extent it happens in the United States, is mostly done by laboratories.
Correct.
And if the provider is going to do his own tests or her own tests,
right,
then it's really is the onus to be much more on the provider than to do the reporting.
True. And however, we have very brilliant people, and hopefully there could be some sort of signal with a positive test to send that test electronically, either through the reading device, which actually there's some point of care test that the reading device can be a cell phone,
right,
where
right.
they can send the signal to the health department.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, on the other hand, the health department has to be ready to accept those signals.
Yeah.
So the devil is indeed in
it
the
is
details.
In the details. And, you know, on the other hand, I could also imagine, and we like to gripe about, you know, our new electronic medical records and the enormous amount of time it takes us to get used to those. But on the other hand, there is the capability within those EMR systems to actually automatically send those reports out.
And there's a capability in the testing, if you have a platform, a testing platform that actually is a small machine as big as a toaster, there's the capability of sending that result to the EMR.
Right. Right.
So
because
it's
technically
possible.
All possible. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about how point-of-care testing affect practice in developing countries. We had a long discussion this morning about syndromic approach, which many years ago was started really as an idea of, you know, yes, it is the tip of the iceberg, but treating only the patients that have symptoms. But if we do that well, that leads us a starting point. But we know that with just treating symptomatic patients, ultimately will not get at eradicating STIs. So I know a lot of these countries, and including the U.S., by the way, but including developing countries, are struggling with how this will evolve and how is point-of-care testing going to be of assistance to them?
Well, what I found fascinating here, listening to some new developments, is that in some countries and in some cities, point-of-care testing is actually being used efficiently in clinics. Say, for example, in South Africa, and just heard a study in Papua New Guinea among pregnant women where they intend to put point-of-care testing in the first prenatal screening for women for STIs. How they are happening to do this is that they have, not to give credit to one development of a point-of-care test versus the other, but for example, GeneXpert is in many lower to middle-income countries to make the immediate diagnosis of tuberculosis. So the point is that they have the machine. It is so easy then, because it's the same machine that runs the GeneXpert test for gonorrhea, chlamydia, and trichomonas. So many of these public health-based or community-based clinics who have the GeneXpert TB test are expanding their testing to have immediate point-of-care testing for women, mostly women, prioritizing pregnant women. But they come in, and in 90 minutes, they have their gonorrhea, chlamydia, trichomonas test result there and done. Some lower to middle-income countries are studying now if they can use that technique and do expedited partner therapy.
Uh-huh.
Which is fascinating. So when you think about it, they are actually ahead of us in this. And again, it may be because they're behind us in tuberculosis. So it's an interesting concept. We'll see in the next probably 3 or 4 years whether this is actually working and how well it's working. But I can tell you the patients in some studies that were done asking about acceptability are very happy to do this, accept self-administered swabs or self-collected swabs, and are ready to go.
Well, so that actually brings up another question, which has to do with the oftentimes the siloing of public health, where you have tuberculosis programs on one end and HIV programs here and STI programs, and not, you know, always well synergized. And you bring up the fact that some of these testing are available for TB and could actually easily be used for STIs, but it does require some coordination at the national level, or at least at the public health level.
Indeed it does, but what I will say to the clinicians listening here, I think that in the lower to middle income countries, a lot of these programs actually started at the grassroots clinician clinic level. And I think that that's how the studies were initiated. Hey, we have the machine here. Let's try this. And the enthusiasm grew.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, we do need our funders and our national systems to bless this type of technology. But we have to see how good it's worked. Obviously, we'll have to do cost-benefit analysis. We'll have to tackle with who's going to pay for the test. And again, it seems like a good thing to do.
And so now going back to the U.S.
Yeah.
And so how do you imagine the ideal STD clinic of the future will operate?
Well, you know, that's an
interesting
question.
Because there's currently a whole sort of, you know, issue oftentimes with stat labs not being very functional in terms of doing a diagnostic at this point. So
losing our ability to do dark field microscopy, and we're not allowed to do in many cases a Gram stain because of the burden of trying to become CLIA certified. I understand certification, so I understand all that. But I will say this. We are already trying to do express visits. In Denver, they're doing express visits. In Seattle and in Baltimore, and I'm sure many other places, express visits where asymptomatic people can come in and even collect their own specimens and then come back for testing. I saw a very interesting model at this conference from England called the Dean Clinic. The Dean Free Clinic, in which was originally set up for men who have sex with men, but it was so successful that they opened it up to everyone, where people come in and they sign in with a computer, they have a kiosk, they do their risk profile, they select tests that are done, they either go to get the collection, or they collect it themselves, and they decide how they want to be informed. And usually it's within 2 to 4 hours, they're sent a text with their test results, and they call up and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's not necessarily 90-minute point-of-care testing, but it is brilliant in that apparently it cut down the appointment times by weeks, and it increased patient showing up for therapy by 600%. Yeah. So my point is that there are ways to incorporate this. And sitting in the audience, I thought, well, who's going to pay for remodeling that clinic, and how do you do that? And these are things we have to think about. But I mean, if it really is cost beneficial.
And the current limiting factor is really the sort of turnaround time of these tests. But those times are actually coming down as well. I mean, what now takes 90 minutes may be only a half an hour.
Exactly.
You know, in a few years from now.
Exactly.
So there's movement, and the technology is just
exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting. There are other things that people are talking about, you know, testing in non-traditional venues. And you know, we've always, all of us in the STD field, have gone out and tried to screen for, you know, sexually transmitted infections at healthcare venues and different areas and in bands. And I think that the data out there are plus minus. I'm not quite sure how cost beneficial. I know New York did a cost beneficial study on that, and it wasn't really worth the money that it took to find, say, one or two cases of STDs. However, you know, maybe we should be offering some sort of screening in pharmacies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to think about.
So I have one final sort of question.
Right.
Like me, you have been a director of a prevention training center for a long time. And ultimately, the capacity building in these clinics and the training is going to be a very important component of any kind of rollout of new technologies, as we've seen with extragenital testing, as we are seeing with things like PrEP and other kind of innovations. You know, we talk a lot about that in our trainings. And so how do you see the role of the training centers sort of evolving with new testing technologies and so forth?
Well, I mean, you and I both do these trainings. We offer updates on what's available and what's coming. And I think our mission right now is to keep clinicians informed about what is available currently, how sensitive, how specific, what's the cost, and, you know, how is it being used. We need to spread the word about self-administered collection, or say, I should say, self-collected techniques for throat, rectum, and vaginal, peripenile, as well as urine collection, because often clinicians say, whether they're in STD clinic, reproductive health clinic, primary care clinics, I don't have the time. Well, that, I mean, the patient collecting their own specimen is brilliant. You don't have to do that. And there are ways to say, here are our risk categories. When the patient's waiting, if you have any of these, you would benefit from these tests. And you can write algorithms that are electronically available for patients to know. So even before they come to see you, you could set up that system. So what are we to do as trainers? Spread the word that these are possibilities, that tests are available now, that there are techniques that are tried and true that will help clinicians with time management, and then introduce some of the thoughts that what's coming in the future and what other people in different countries are doing to use these technologies, and that we should be ready and advocate for ourselves for quicker diagnosis, but most importantly for the patient. Mm-hmm. So if you can test and treat someone that day.
Test and treat.
Test, treat,
thank prevent. You very much. Thank you very much, Anne Rompalo, and congratulations
thank
on the
you.
Distinguished Career Award.
I'm honored and humbled. It's a wonderful thing.
SD Podcast is produced by Ben Westergaard for the Internet and SD Center of Excellence. This is Case Rietmeyer for SD Prevention Online.